Hello and welcome to another episode of Missouri Capital Chat, the Missouri Chamber's political and legislative podcast. As always, I am your fabulous host, Ross Lean, and with me today are Carol Mitchell. Carol, how are you?
I'm great, Ross. You?
Oh, I'm just fantastic. And Kara Cortes. Kara, what's going on?
Hi, Ross. I'm clearly not as arrogant as you are today, saying your fabulous self.
Well, I don't think you're as arrogant as me on any given day, but that's just because I'm great. Moving on, we've got 5 weeks to go in this legislative session. It is coming to a close fast and furious. So we're here to talk about just some of the things going on and where we see some of our top priorities ending up 5 weeks from now. But Kara, I want to start with the budget. The House obviously passed a budget this week. It was an interesting process. You know, Peter Meredith said this is the most bipartisan budget that he's seen in his now 6 years. But some definitely interesting notes. But I want to start with some money that was in the budget for childcare, which is something that we've really been a part of this year.
Yeah, we're really excited to see $20 million dedicated in the state budget to innovative childcare solutions. We know that childcare is a huge, huge obstacle in our current workforce shortage. We released a report in conjunction with the U.S. Chamber in the fall that found that childcare barriers and challenges actually are costing our state over $1 billion a year. When you think about lost days in productivity or mothers refusing job promotions because they don't have reliable childcare, there's a whole host of economic benefits that come with addressing childcare problems in our state. We are really happy to see some bipartisan work, as you mentioned. Representative Betsy Fogel out of Springfield really spearheaded this amendment through that would allocate $20 million to childcare solutions for state workers, because we know that's a big problem for our state workers as well, and then also for small businesses. Exactly $10 million was allocated for innovation in childcare for small businesses. So it would allow small businesses to kind of pool together almost like a co-op and work with childcare providers in their communities to help them expand capacity or somehow work out an arrangement that more of these small businesses workers would have access to reliable, high quality childcare. And that is a huge win, Ross, for our economy as we provide more opportunities for parents who work to access childcare. It means more people are getting back into the workforce, which is a vitally needed thing.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned Representative Fogel, you know, our report that you mentioned got a lot of mention both in the budget committee and also on the floor. And I think it's worth mentioning a shout out to Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, who's really been at the forefront of a lot of these discussions around childcare.
Absolutely. Lieutenant Governor Kehoe actually formed a child care task force that I sit on to really comprehensively look at all the different facets of the challenges for child care in our state. And we are really pleased to see Representative Fogel also work with the House Budget Committee Chairman, Representative Cody Smith, on this amendment. Representative Smith got on the floor and put a stamp of endorsement on this amendment. So good to see Republicans and Democrats working together to move the state forward.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about some good things that happened in the budget and some things that are concerning to us and that should be concerning to the entire business community. We've talked a lot at length in all of these podcasts about vaccine restrictions, vaccine mandates on businesses, and some of that language did get into the budget on several of the budget bills.
Yeah, Ross, this was something that we were really displeased to see get put in the budget. And forget about what the language actually is related to vaccines. We view it as probably unconstitutional language because, as you can probably attest, Ross, in your years in the Capitol, you're not supposed to legislate through the budget. That's supposed to be left just for funding allocations. So this was a change in principle. Representative Chris Sander, who is a Republican from Lone Jack, put on every single budget bill, I think, except for one. So that's, I mean, way over 10 bills. Language that said no state funds could be used for any general admission event that would require a COVID test or a COVID vaccine card. And on its face, some people may think this is harmless, but in reality, this is just another way for the government to tell businesses how to operate. Even when people think of general admission events, they're thinking of concerts, which this is also problematic if there's a private concert venue that wants to require vaccines. It's their business and they should be able to set their own policies. But I mean, this could impact, for example, a nursing home or a childcare facility that receives state funds for staffing needs or for supplies that happens to have a job fair. And individuals coming to that job fair need to be vaccinated, or they have to check their vaccine cards. I mean, this could implicate state funding for many, many different businesses. So again, it's just a roundabout way of governmental overreach, in our opinion. And so we are really displeased to see that language get put on the budget. We know that there was an amendment that was offered on the floor to remove language, but it was ultimately voted down. And we will be working really, really diligently in the Senate to make sure that language is removed. Not just because it's bad policy, we think it's probably unconstitutional as well.
Yeah, well, you mentioned legislating through the budget, and that's something that the Supreme Court in Missouri has struck down several times before. I'm not sure why they keep trying to do that. And then you mentioned, you know, general admission events. That's an incredibly vague term that, you know, was mentioned both in committee and on the floor, that term isn't actually defined anywhere in Missouri statute. So we don't know what that means. Is that, you know, a day at an amusement park? Is that, like you said, a job fair? You know, is it an event at a middle school, a play? I think there's a lot of questions about how this would be, you know, in practicality playing out if it gets into the budget and stays there. So a lot of concerns. Just a few highlights about the budget. The governor's original budget was over $47 billion. The House cut it down about $1.8 billion to $46 billion. You know, a lot of this is one-time spending, a lot of the federal ARPA dollars. So we're hopeful to see a lot of those dollars get put back to use, hopefully in the Senate and in conference committee. These are one-time dollars for, you know, community revitalization, for economic development programs that we think could really, you know, advance the state and move us forward. And again, if we send these dollars back to the federal government, like a lot of the Republicans are saying, it's not going to get put back in the treasury. It's going to be spent by other states, and Missouri is going to miss out. So we're really hopeful that some of those dollars will be spent on good projects for the state.
Yeah, I agree, Ross. And, you know, the other thing I do want to underscore, that $250 million pot of money for Department of Economic Development that was cut down to $50 million, we really want to see that number boosted when it goes over to the Senate, considering this will allow DED to fund a variety of community-driven projects that will have a transformational impact on Missouri. And so it's really important that we can fund as many as of these community-driven approaches, you know, when people submit applications through this pot of money, because it will help workforce development, it will help economic development. It just, I think, will really revitalize our economy.
No, I completely agree with you on that. Moving on, obviously, you know, the House spent a lot of this week working on the budget. The Senate was, I guess you could call it working, you know, a lot of late nights this week, a lot of filibustering from both Republicans and Democrats on legal reform issues, on some other things, you know, some ag bills that got held up and eventually, you know, perfected. But, you know, Carol, talk a little bit about what happened this week with the legal reform fight in the Senate.
Ross, Senator Hegeman's SB 631 was brought up for perfection on Wednesday night. This deals with the statute of limitations. Missouri statute of limitations for personal injury actions is double or more than many other states. In fact, 46 other states have shorter statute of limitations than Missouri. And it's really affecting our economic growth because it's giving Missouri a reputation as an unfair legal climate. So the bill was brought up on the floor, and after several hours of filibustering by Senators Igel and Moon, it was finally placed back on the informal perfection calendar.
And you make an interesting point there, you know, one that we're behind many other states on statute of limitations, but Kara, it's interesting to see a lot of Republicans filibustering a legal reform bill when those are the folks that you usually think are supportive of these efforts. And you know, I think if you look closely, you'll see a lot of them taking a lot of money from trial attorneys.
And I should specify, you said a lot of Republicans filibustering. No, it was really just two. But it is alarming considering Republicans have always been really champions for legal reform on making sure to put an end to frivolous lawsuits that end up making trial attorneys, you know, windfalls of money on the backs of small businesses. And so it was alarming to see Senator Igel and Moon filibuster. We do have a link on our website. It's called Money Trail. And this allows us to track trial attorney donations just to follow the money and see where the money is going to in elections. And so through that, we were able to find that both Senator Igel and Senator Moon had taken tens of thousands of dollars from trial attorneys in past elections. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've said all you can say. And I think Senator Hageman did a great job laying out why this is important. And hopefully this is something that we can move forward on. But for right now, just more stalemates in the Senate. And I'm not sure that, you know, maybe the dam will break here in a couple of weeks, but we're running out of time for optimism and to see if that happens. We're going to move on and talk a little bit about where some of our top priorities for the business community stand. Before we do that, I did want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of Missouri Capital Chat, GovWatch, Missouri's unbiased legislative intelligence service. Learn more at govwatch.net. Kara, talking about some of our priorities, again, you know, those listeners who have been on this podcast for the last few years will, you know that workforce development is the top issue for the chamber. It has been for several years. This year is no different. We've talked a lot about fast track on this podcast, but where does it stand right now? And what are the chances we're able to get it reauthorized before the end of session?
Yeah, fast track was one of the first bills that was perfected and third read in the Senate this session. Senator Lincoln Huff is the sponsor of the fast track program in the Senate. And then there is a House companion bill that is being shepherded by Representative Travis Fitzwater. And right now, I think we're just waiting on a hearing from House Economic Development to hear Senator Huff's version of the fast track legislation. And that is a priority we really need to get done, because this reauthorizes this workforce development program that is specifically tailored for adults over the age of 25 to go back to get to school to get a degree, certificate, or credential in a high demand field. And so if this does not get reauthorized, the program dies, and we do not want to see it die. We need to see it reauthorized and even bolstered so more people can use it. We're in the midst of a workforce shortage still, and so we need to use all the tools available to us to attract more people to the workforce and also to upskill every Missourian we have to fit the needs of the jobs that are available out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an important program. And you mentioned it was one of the first bills passed out of the Senate, and it's still kind of, you know, hanging around in the House. You know, I think it's important to mention this is the time of year where the House is holding Senate bills until the Senate does House bills, and the Senate normally is doing the same thing. But, you know, you're going to see a lot of, you know, chess moves by leadership on both sides, a lot of horse trading on, you know, you pass this bill, we'll pass this bill, we're going to hold your priorities until you do our priorities. And so it's that time of year again, which is always frustrating, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. And I think, I guess our request is, you know, for the House to move this bill. Every business and every single representative and senator's district, they're hurting for workers right now, and they're hurting to find people with the right skills. So this really benefits every corner of the state for this program to get reauthorized. So we hope that it can get done, and hopefully get done within the next few weeks.
Absolutely. You know, another top priority that we can talk about a little bit, some of our technology bills. Obviously, again, we've talked a lot about cybersecurity, the regulatory sandbox, I know, which was passed out of the House this week. What are the chances looking like for those two really important bills for the chamber?
It's really hard to guess, because I think all of us had a very different view coming into session of what things would look like by this point. But it is a ticking time clock for all of our listeners who are not in the Capitol day in and day out. You know, we're on a running time clock right now up until May 13th. And so everything takes time. Bills take time to get heard and voted out of committee. It takes a lot of time to get anything off the Senate floor right now. And so we're really just running up against the clock. I think on the policies, you know, we're there and we have a lot of support related to our cybersecurity grant program that we are really pushing, along with the regulatory sandbox that would hopefully drive innovation in our state. But we're just up against the clock. So we will keep pushing. We know that Missouri is an emerging tech hub. And so we want to be doing everything we can to put our kind of flag in the ground of being a state that embraces technology and innovation and passes policies that further create a climate where tech and innovation can thrive. So just to touch base really high level, the regulatory sandbox bills, those are being shepherded by Representative Alex Riley. and Senator Denny Hoskins. And this would create kind of like a trial period where certain regulations would be waived for innovative technologies. And why this is important, if you can imagine companies like Uber or Lyft, when they came into the marketplace and taxi cab regulations were placed upon them, but their business model doesn't really fit that. And so it allows kind of a trial period where there's still regulatory oversight, but it just looks a little bit different than the way that we're used to seeing regulators interact with businesses. Again, great thing. Arizona, Utah, multiple other states have passed this type of legislation, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they're seeing huge growths in their tech economy. Cybersecurity, Representative Dan Houks and Senator Lincoln Huff both have bills that would create a cybersecurity grant program for businesses to enhance their cybersecurity and protections. I know that anyone who's following any type of global news right now, seeing what's going on in Russia, and there is a direct correlation with what's going on in Russia with the increasing number of cyber attacks on American businesses. So we want to give our businesses the tools that they need to make these protections in their businesses, because it's really important for our economy to remain resilient.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting, on the regulatory sandbox side, you mentioned we'd be one of the first, you know, handful or so of states to do this. I think that'd be a great thing for Missouri, not only for our tech sector, but, you know, Carol mentioned earlier, we're, you know, one of the bottom five states in a lot of these legal reform issues. We were the last state to pass Wayfair, to pass a statewide PDMP. So it'd be nice for a change to be one of the first states to do something instead of, you know, one of the last or even the last in a lot of cases. Moving on, Carol, I know we talked a little bit about statute of limitations and the holdup in the Senate. Are you hearing anything about maybe coming back to that next week or in a couple weeks, or the outlook on where it's at in the House?
In the House, there's Representative Curtis Trent has a bill. It's HB 2206 for the statute of limitations on personal injury. And it was reported out of committee. Senator Hegeman's, I'm not hearing anything if that's going to be back on the floor for perfection. It's just currently on the calendar.
Yeah, it's disappointing to see that there really just hasn't been a lot of movement on that or really any of our legal reform issues this year. But hopefully we can get that changed. On a brighter note, our research and development tax credit that, you know, a lot of you have heard us talk about, that would be great for innovation and for a lot of our tech sector here in Missouri, did get amended onto a bill in the Senate that was third read and moved over to the House. And we're hopeful that it can get done through the House as well. Obviously, Don Mayhew has really been a champion for this out of Rolla. You know, Brewer Science is a great member of ours and a part of his district, and he's been a real champion for them and for this issue. So I think we're hopeful this year that we can find a way to get it over the finish line. Kara, moving back to another, you know, less exciting topic. We've talked a lot about vaccine bills and vaccine mandates today and before, but, you know, they still continue to try to put it on every bill that comes through the Senate, and, you know, adding punitive damages, adding all kinds of things that trial attorneys love to these bills to make them even worse for the business community.
It has certainly been a hot issue this legislative session with over 40 bills filed, and now we're dealing with it on the budget too. We cannot seem to get away from this issue of individuals trying to limit the policies that businesses create in their workplaces regarding COVID vaccine decisions. On the Senate floor, Senator Lincoln Huff had a bill that was up for perfection. This kind of was a continuation of a few weeks ago, which was an unrelated bill on COVID. His bill had only to do with construction projects through the state, and through some creative drafting, Senator Bob Onder offered an amendment that would essentially create a blanket ban on businesses from requiring COVID vaccines, and then took it a step further and said that employees or even prospective employees could then have a cause of action to sue businesses with a COVID vaccine requirement for essentially, I mean, a limitless number of lawsuits, punitive damages, 3 times back pay, the value of their benefits package. I mean, just insane the amount of lawsuits that would be created through this. And again, we're talking about lawsuits that are going to make trial attorneys a lot of money, but drive small businesses to shut their doors, which is really concerning. And just beyond that, we're going back to the issue. And what is our catchphrase, Ross?
Let business decide.
Exactly. Well, these are business decisions. It's a slippery slope. If today the legislature starts telling businesses how they can or cannot set their workplace policies related to vaccines, what could be next? Could the legislature not agree with vacation policies in an employer's benefit package and create a mandate on that? This is a mandate. We fought hard against President Biden's mandate to require vaccines for large employers. And on the flip side of that, we are going to fight back on any mandates that say businesses cannot require vaccines.
This amendment was voted down on the Senate floor by a vote of 8-22, which is a really significant vote. We were encouraged to see both Republicans and Democrats banding together to vote this really bad amendment down.
So we will keep fighting this fight hard every single day in the Capitol up until May 13th. We will be there making sure that businesses can decide.
Absolutely. And you know, it's always concerning when you hear all of these folks trying to do these things that say they're pro-business legislators and they're pro-local control, and then they spend all their time in the Capitol really doing the opposite of that. So really concerning, yeah. But like you said, we're going to continue to fight back on that.
And if I can add something, it seems like all of the debate has been around like individual liberties versus businesses. And businesses also have rights. So we've all seen the signs of like a beachside restaurant, no shoes, no shirt, no service. There's really no difference. Businesses have always held the rights to set their own workplace policies. So I just don't think, you know, this point of, oh, it's all about individual liberties and not businesses. Well, businesses have always had these rights. So why are we changing and breaking with our free enterprise system?
You're absolutely right. And we're going to make sure that they continue to have those rights. I think that's all for now. We'll be back probably next week or the week after to give you another update. And we'll probably be doing a few more frequent episodes as we wind down the last few weeks of session to keep everyone updated. But as always, this has been Missouri Capital Chat.